The fourth commandment in the book of Deuteronomy reads as follows. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your manservant or your maidservant, or your ox or your ass, or any of your cattle, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your manservant and your maidservant may rest as well as you. Shall remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out thence with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. But as we said, these commandments, who were given by God on Mount Sinai and always have kept their validity, now they become enriched under the light of the New Testament, as St. Gregory Palamas presents here for us. So let's look into this commandment based on what St. Gregory says. But before we can start to follow St. Gregory's interpretation, we can state that the basic and deeper dimension of this commandment is that God creates the seventh day as the prelude of the eighth day where the saints will rest eternally. So what's the fourth commandment? Again, the prelude of the eighth day during which the faithful will rest in the kingdom of God, and there all works will cease. That's why it states, and this is a second plane of this commandment, that the rest during the day of the Sabbath is to serve as a reminder of God's benevolence, who brought his children out of Egypt, and as God saved the firstborn, and consequently, the firstborn belonged to God because God killed all the firstborn of the Egyptians while sparing the firstborn of the Israelites. So as the firstborn of Israel belonged to God, likewise here, the day of Sabbath belongs to him because he freed his people from Egypt. And after these two comments, we will now begin to see how St. Gregory approaches this topic and this commandment. The first day of the week, which is called the Lord's Day, or Kyriaki in Greek, which belongs to the Lord, and this is a day of rest. So the Sabbath was the seventh day of the week, while Sunday is the first day of the week, and this adjustment took place because of the transferal from the period of the law to the period of grace. We left the Old Testament and entered the New Testament. So we had the metathesis of the law, of the priesthood, but of the day of rest as well. So the day of rest will no longer be the seventh day or the Sabbath, but the first, or the first day of the week, or the day of the Lord, Kyriaki. This day is dedicated to the Lord because this day he resurrected from the dead, but he also pre-ensures our own resurrection since we will resurrect like he did. And here I will take the opportunity to also mention that on Sunday we do not kneel, because kneeling is a symbol of subservience, a symbol of servitude, and a symbol of the fall and bondage, while the upright stance is symbolic of the resurrection. So in order to show that on this day the Lord resurrected, and consequently he will also resurrect us bodily, we don't kneel on this day, and we don't do prostrations on Sundays. Because when we resurrect, St. Gregory says, every earthly work will cease, and the eternal Sabbath, or the eternal rest, will begin. Then civilization and history and the stomach and the need to provide for it, because as you know, the key developmental factor of human history is motivated by the belly. If the belly did not exist, all these things that exist today would not be taking place. No civilization, no wars, no capitalism, maybe nothing of all these things. Everything begins from this mistress, belly. But the belly will be put to rest. Doesn't St. Paul in his first epistle to the Corinthians say that God will put to rest this belly and all of its intake? All the foods, they will be unnecessary. So the belly will be out of service. It will be absolutely useless. So that this is how the eternal Sabbath will be. No civilization, no history, no belly, no stomach. Things will be different, very different in the eternal rest. This day you will keep holy. In essence, you will dedicate it to God. Now, how are we to understand this holy day? How do we keep it holy? St. Gregory points out to us how to dedicate this day to work of holiness. First, he says, you will not do any mundane work except what's absolutely necessary. You'll wash your face, you will cook, you will eat, you will make your bed, you will dress. If a button falls off your only shirt, you will sew it. But you will not do money-making work. You will not open your shop. You will not go to your farm. You will not build. You will not do business or buy and sell professionally on that day. You will only do the very necessary things for your sustenance and nothing career-oriented. What's interesting here as well is that the entire commandment addresses the men of the household. And it says, you will watch your son, your daughter, your animals, your slaves, male and female. Watch that they don't work. So that the commandment seems to be directed to the master of the house. And it's because he's responsible for the keeping of this commandment. He's responsible to God. And this responsibility for the entire family, again, this is significant. And the commandment says, you will also allow all those that work for you to rest. All those who stay in your household, you will allow them to rest, which means you will not send them off to work on that day. But what is the purpose behind this day of rest? The Holy Father says, so all of you can glorify him who bought us by his death and he resurrected. And with his resurrection, he also resurrected the human nature. So the purpose is to glorify Christ our God, to worship him and to glorify him. St. Gregory also adds that the Lord's Day is presented to us for spiritual development. And you will bring to mind the future age. You will begin to think, to do theoria, to contemplate about all the things that God has given us. And he will give us in a life to come. As we are saying these things, you may be thinking about the resurrection of the dead, the second coming, judgment, paradise, kingdom of God, hell. All these things should occupy our mind, especially on Sunday. So you will be doing this mental work on Sunday, which is very helpful for men's spiritual development. You will also study the Word of God, the commandments of God, and this includes the listening and hearing of the Word of God. So you will study the law of God to become aware of what God expects from us. This you will find out by studying the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. Also, on this day, you will examine yourself. You are not busy. You are not working physically. So this is the proper time. Now that your mind is relaxed, your body is relaxed, Now you can examine yourself, St. Gregory says. And you will examine yourself to see if you disobeyed or broke any commandments, or if you neglected your spiritual works. And you will correct yourself in all these things. So sit down, not in front of the television set, not to watch 6 hours of a sport doubleheader. Sit down by yourself and examine your entire week. What did I neglect? How many times did I sin? And strive to correct yourself. This means that every Sunday presents a special opportunity for our own personal spiritual renewal. Of course, Sunday, this day of rest, is especially offered to us to worship God. And on this day, you will spend a long time in the temple. And this is noteworthy. St. Gregory uses a word that shows that you'll want to be in church. You will be eager to be in church. The Greek word is proskartero. And, this is a verb that shows the anxiety and also that somebody is anxiously awaiting to get to church. They can't wait to get to church. You will be very eager to spend a long period of time in God's house. Not like today, unfortunately, where people go to church a little before communion or light a candle and go outside. And this on feast days in Greece and other countries, especially in small towns and the villages. People go to the church, they light a candle, and then immediately turn around and go outside, and they walk around, they look at the time, especially the men who were forced to come by their wife, and now they can't wait until this is over. Well, this is pathetic, and if we read the life of the early Christians in the Acts of the Apostles, we will see that the people of God were eagerly and anxiously waiting for these services, and they spent hours upon hours in these gatherings in the temple and in the house of worship. So St. Gregory says that you will stay many hours in God's temple, and you will participate in all the gatherings, whether for worship or for the purpose of teaching. So we have gatherings of worship on Sundays, but also of God's word, to hear the word of God, a sermon, a lecture. You will want to be at all these, the Holy Father says, because these are sanctifying. But the most important one of all is for you to partake of the cup of life, of the divine mysteries. In the early days, Christians communed no less than once a week, at least on Sunday. But their life was also one of preparation. They lived their life accordingly. Their life was tailored around the Holy Chalice, around the church. Today, we don't have these presuppositions. We live in spiritual mediocrity and spiritual minimalism. And you will partake of the body and blood of Christ with sincere faith and with a guiltless conscience, with a pure conscience, which means you will go to confession often. How else will you maintain a pure conscience? This Sunday rest also provides an opportunity for spiritual reorganizations. And the Holy Father comes back to this again. He touched on this before, but now he reemphasizes, and you will start new and holier life, and you will renew yourself, and you will prepare to receive the treasures of the future life, the life to come. So on Sunday, you will begin to come up with spiritual decisions. You will begin to reevaluate your personal life to live a more precise and a more sincere spiritual life, a better spiritual life, and you will prepare yourself for the eternal journey. And you will prepare yourself for the reception into the eternal banquet. But these things do not hold true on Sunday only, but all through the week, every day. Because we should not limit our spirituality and our piety to Sunday mornings, just for a couple hours. And then after that, we allow ourselves to wallow in the dirt and the mud of passions. and we invent our own Alice Cooper theology, church in the morning and rock and roll at night. Sunday is one thing, but Monday is different. Monday is a day of business and making money. Is that what counts? Using every deception and loophole in the book and how to make money fast? No, the Holy Father here corrects this attitude. For the sake of these future treasures, you will not abuse the earthly goods on the other days. In other words, you will not abuse your stomach by getting drunk during happy hour on Friday evening. You will not abuse your health by smoking or ingesting drugs and substances, or by becoming a workaholic working 12 or 16 hours a day. You will not chase after the flesh. So during the week, you will exercise self-control for the sake of the future rewards, and on Sunday, you will be next to God and you will cut yourself from all earthly cares except those things which are absolutely necessary to sustain yourself. You will drive to church, you will eat and drink water, as we mentioned above. Thus, having your God and His temple as your refuge, you will not run from place to place. You will stay put. In other words, you'll go to church and then you'll go home. So you will not run to the theaters, to the movies, to the beaches, and to social activities. And we'll touch on these again farther down. So we need to be careful every day, but especially on the weekend, where we have more time on our hands. On weekends, we are granted more free time. And let's not use this free time to serve every sinful passion, but let's use it for our spiritual well-being. And St. Gregory says, if you use God and His holy temple and His word as your refuge, then you will not light the fire of passions and you will not be lifting the burden of sin on your shoulders. How insightful and how prophetic. As we know, weekends are responsible for most drunkenness, wild parties, sexual sins, adulteries, and fornications. All these take place mostly on weekends. Most traffic accidents and driving deaths on weekends. Football games, horse races, dances, parties, all these certain pleasures reach their height on Sundays, and this on the Lord's Day, on the Lord's Day of Rest. And this day of rest becomes a day of hell for the people of the world's purple parade. But you, Orthodox Christian, will avoid all these if you take refuge in God and His temple and His holy word. And by doing this, you will sanctify, you will keep the day of rest holy by resting from all evil deeds. So you will stay pure from all these evil deeds. All of the above do not only apply for Sundays, but you will treat all the great spiritual holidays the same way. The day of Christmas, the day of the Annunciation, the day of the Dormition of the Virgin Mary, the day of the Holy Transfiguration of the Lord. All these great feast days you will treat like Sundays. We need to be careful because we often use these holidays to go on vacations and travel. And during these Christian feast days, our days become marred with the worst sins. And this especially in the summer months, where in Greece and some other countries, we have a number of panigiria, or feast celebrations for the saints. These feast days often turn into the most sinful festivals with food, music, and alcohol. And all these things are used to supposedly celebrate the saint of the island or the saint of the village. I have witnessed some of these, and you will not believe what happens. The fast is abolished. Barbecues and the smell of burning meat will be mixed with the scent of the incense, even on Wednesdays and Fridays, and this during Vespers or liturgy. Most villagers will not step in church because they are preparing for their visitors and relatives. Sometimes they will wait until the last minute, up to the last minute, and then they will come to light a candle for St. Pantaleimon or St. Paraskevi or Prophet Elijah or St. Marina all these summer celebrated saints. So people begin their festivities from the night before. They drink and stay up very late, and of course the next day they will not wake up to go to Divine Liturgy. And after the Divine Liturgy, the music begins, and not just music, but even scandalous dancing. They may even have belly dancers and women of sin, and this is to honor the saint of the village or the island. For all these things, the voice of God thunders through Isaiah the prophet. My soul hates your Sabbath and your feast days, says the Lord, which feast days were enacted for us by God, and the people now use them for all sorts of idolatry. They use them for evil. Here in the United States, we also have our church food festivals or bazaars, but the purpose is different. The reason is purely financial, and this because as Christians, we were not disciplined to support our churches from our own finances, but we must rely on our non-Orthodox neighbors. And of course, we invite our Protestant and Catholic and non-Orthodox neighbors to see us work for money and sell food on Sundays and abolish the fast on Friday, because most of our bazaars do serve meat on Wednesdays and Fridays, and they do last through Sunday. I'm sorry that I may have upset some of you, but the truth needs to be spoken. Today, my friends, we have a 5-day work week. However, it looks like we have not used the longer weekend very well. Interestingly enough, in the Book of the Apostolic Commandments, an official book of our church, a very old book, first century, we are advised, and this is to the credit of our church, we are advised in this little booklet, and again, this is an authentic book of our church, called the Book of the Apostolic Commandments, Apostolike Diataye, we read in the 8th chapter, let the slaves work 5 days, Saturday and Sunday. They should rest from work and spend it in church to be taught the way of piety, to learn how to be Christians. Saturday, we should rest because of the old law. God rested after his creation. And on Sunday, we rest because Christ resurrected. So we will have 2 days off work. So the long weekend is not the brainchild of the civilized West, but the church, our church, had initiated this long weekend long ago, almost 2,000 years ago. But this 2-day rest is only good for those who know how to use it. If we abuse these 2 days, if we don't use these 2 days wisely, then I will say something very daring, that it is better off to go to work even on Sunday. And don't misunderstand, when you work on Sunday, you sin against the fourth commandment of God. You are guilty of one sin. You may be better off breaking this commandment and be guilty of one sin than collecting all the sins of a weekend at Las Vegas, a weekend at Atlantic City, or a weekend at a college campus with all the fornications, adulteries, gluttonies, licentiousness, fights, and all the evil fruits of debauchery. In brief, this is the content of the fourth commandment under the scope of the New Testament, which was analyzed for us by St. Gregory Palamas and further interpreted by Father Athanasios Mytilineos. As we mentioned earlier, the first four commandments pertain to our relationship with God. Next week, we will be looking at the second category, or the 6 commandments that come after this. And by the grace of God, next week, we will be commenting on the 5th commandment, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God gives you.
Today has Christ outgrown. Love.